Our second New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Listen for the gospel, listen for the word of the Lord. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man unable to walk from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ooh, I can hear people. Okay. Session has asked me to take off my mask. If that is a concern or a for you or a difficulty for me. If that's a concern for you, I might invite you to move further back. So, let's pray. God, we thank you for this, your word, for the way that you restore people who have been separated and bring people back together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' resurrection was not a one-off. It wasn't a one-time deal that happened once. It was a one thing that is God's resurrection power breaking through to everything. We see that with the disciples. Jesus doesn't just appear once. Jesus doesn't just appear and disappear. He meets with the disciples. And this is hilarious. Jesus shows up, and they think he's a ghost. So he's like, "No, go ahead, touch me." And they're like, "Okay, oh, and he's real. Yep, he's real." And then it says, in their joy, they were disbelieving. And Jesus says, "You guys got any snacks? You guys got any snacks?" They're like, we got some fish. And they bring Jesus a broiled fish. And he's like, "Wow, you guys, this is fantastic." They're like, "Okay, check. Ghosts can't eat, so he's clearly not a ghost." So the resurrection power is just shattering forward through time. It's still rippling a while later when Peter and John are in the temple. The line that I read earlier, "His name itself made this man strong." Just his name, because what happens on Easter is Jesus defeats the powers of sin, death, and the devil by resurrecting from the grave. And that resurrection power is still putting fear in the hearts of sin and death and the devil. So they just mention Jesus' name and like, peace out. They're just terrified and flee before the power of Jesus' name. Now, this part is a little bit complicated. I was struggling last night, as late as last night, with how do I talk about How do you talk about this story of Peter and John healing this lame man? Because of the way that this story treats his disability. It's treated as a defect to be fixed rather than a different kind of ability to be accommodated. To explain that, the problem isn't that he's unable to walk. That's sort of a neutral fact. It's not that he's unable to walk, it's that he's not able to walk in a society and a world that was built for people who are able to walk. This has been brought to my attention by the disability community, that the problem isn't so much a disability, but a disability paired with a world that is not accommodating to people with that disability. Like people with hearing disabilities. The problem isn't that they can't hear. The problem is that they can't hear in a world that is set up by and for people who can hear. If everyone knew American Sign Language and everything had captions, the inability to hear wouldn't be a problem. So this man, he can't walk. He can't walk in a world that excludes people who can't walk. The bigger miracle here maybe would have been if Peter and John had instantaneously transformed all of society and the architecture and everything into a place where people who can't walk could be accessible. But, you know, Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, and he raises him up so that he's now able to function in a society that was not made for people who can't walk. The bigger miracle, of course, would have been to change that world into one that was made accessible to not just him, but all the other people who weren't able to walk. Everyone with mobility disabilities, but one of the challenges, of course, is that some of that technology hasn't even been available till recently. But what Peter and John do is they bring him back into the community. They shatter that disconnect, not by changing the community or the architecture or people's minds about what it is to be disabled, but by changing him. Christ's resurrection power breaks through that wall of separation. Christ's resurrection power keeps shattering through stuff. Works forward and backward in time. We look at the Exodus. The people of God in captivity in Egypt, they don't fit into that world where they're being told to work constantly for other people for no pay, and they're forced to accommodate other people's demands that they constantly work. They seem to have gotten used to it, and you see God's resurrection power going backward in time, resurrecting, setting them free, and bringing them out. Then, of course, you have the exiles. The people of God are delivered out of Egypt, brought into the Promised Land, and after a while in the Promised Land, they're exiled by their enemies, and there's so many enemies it's hard to keep track of. But in the end, God brings them out. They're out of that place where they're out of place, not where they belong, and they come back to this world that fits them. They say, we were like those who dream. In Psalm 26, we were like those who dream. Those who dream. In 1982, a girl named Jennifer Keelan was born. She had cerebral palsy. She still does. She was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at the age of 2. I read on the internet that when she was very young, her parents took her to a restaurant in her wheelchair and stuff, but they turned her away because the waitress said, "No one wants to see you eat." She couldn't be in the same classes as her peers, not because she had any kind of intellectual disability, but because her wheelchair couldn't physically get to those classrooms. She went to her first protest when she was 6 years old to try to get lifts in buses so that people in wheelchairs could ride. That was 1988. That was the same year that U.S. Senator Tom Harkin sponsored the Americans with Disabilities Act. He was inspired by his brother Frank, who was deaf. When he introduced the bill, he did it aloud and in sign language so that Frank could understand what he was saying. The Americans with Disabilities Act in 1988 did not pass. The next year, in 1989, he introduced it again. It passed the Senate finally on September 7th, and then it got stuck in like four committees in the House. It was opposed by lobbyists from businesses that didn't want to spend money updating their facilities so that everyone could use them. On March 12th, 1990, thousands of disability rights activists came to the U.S. Capitol for the Wheels of Justice March. Jennifer Keelan joined them. And at some point, the activists began to crawl up the 78 stairs to the U.S. Capitol. She was 8 years old with cerebral palsy, and she decided that someone from her generation, some child, needed to join in that Capitol crawl. Can we get the lights down up here so people can see that? It looks real good on the screen in the back, but you can't really see. It's Jennifer Keelan crawling up the Capitol steps in 1990. Reporters swarmed her, and she asked for a water. She said she got 50 glasses of water as she was climbing up. It took her an hour to crawl up all 78 steps to the U.S. Capitol. This kind of got the wheels of justice unstuck. Oh, this is the book that she wrote, I think it was last year, called All the Way to the Top. That was March 12th of 1990. On July 12th, the House passed their own version of the Americans with Disabilities Act. On July 13th, the next day, the House passed it. And on July 26th, 4.5 months after Jennifer Keelan climbed those steps, Christ's resurrection power broke through out of the pen of George Herbert Walker Bush when he signed the Americans with Disabilities Act. That bigger miracle I mentioned way back there, way back when Peter and John raise up this man who's unable to walk, that bigger miracle comes through here. God's resurrection power shattered through. Wheelchair ramps and elevators started popping up in places that they weren't before. There were lifts on buses. Braille letters started appearing on doors. Font sizes got bigger. Verbal information started appearing on screens. We're not there yet, by the way. It's hard to be a deaf person in an airport. We even had these cool captions here. They're not perfect, but they help a lot. And I don't know if you've noticed, but they're even helpful if you don't have a hearing disability, or if you're not willing to, or if it's not that bad. They're really helpful. I've gotten used to having the captions on at home. And of course, here we are today. God's resurrection power flowing through needles so that we are able to rejoin as a community together with vaccines and masks. In the Exodus, the people of God find a way through the sea. In the return from an exile back from a land that was not made to fit them, they said, "We were like the ones who dream." Jesus' resurrection just keeps rippling through time, shattering the powers of sin, death, the devil, anything that would keep us apart. Jesus' resurrection ripples through time. The disciples, in their joy, are disbelieving. And this man who's unable to walk is now able to join with his community. And Jennifer Keelan climbed the Capitol steps, and the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and people with disabilities are given more of the ability to live in the world. I don't know if everyone with a disability won't have that disability or everything will just be accessible, but what I do know is that when Jesus returns, everything will be accessible to everyone because that resurrection power just keeps shattering through everything that would keep us apart from one another and from God. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your resurrection power that is still at work transforming our world, that is still breaking the powers of sin, death, and the devil in all these myriad ways as you bring new life into the world. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.